Well, I'm excited to bring this word today. A few weeks back, the Lord interrupted us. It was right kind of before Christmas, a couple weeks before, and dropped Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 in our hearts that morning. I don't know if you remember, but it was just about waiting on the Lord, and God just kind of came out. And really, as I was preparing for this week, there were several conversations that I had with people, and it started last Sunday, actually, in your family gathering there. And then I had situations that came up during the week that really prompted me to look at this some more and to dig into it a little bit deeper. It's just ironic how Holy Spirit can just orchestrate your thoughts, you know, and bring clarity. I kept running into people that would describe themselves as exhausted. Anybody ever been there? Okay. They described themselves as wore out, weary. And this is not just physically, because we can all, I know not all of you probably work like heavy construction like Jimmy and others do, but that can really wear on your body and wear you out physically. And as we get older, it just becomes even more and more taxing on us. You know, yeah, Fred's like, amen. But whether it's friends and family, it was fellow ministers and pastors that I work with. It was some brothers and sisters in the Lord. And some people that I just was talking to in the sauna. You know, you could just, there was just this sense of weariness. And we just entered a new year with a fresh start. And I really felt Holy Spirit lead me back to this incredible piece of Scripture. So I want to read it again together. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. And it says this: "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired, and he doesn't grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait in the Lord," everybody say wait, wait. "Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word today. Father, we just ask you, God, to add to the reading of your word today. Holy Spirit, I pray for illumination, revelation. I'm asking, God, for your words to take root in hearts. You are the only one we lift up here. I pray that any words that come from Craig would fall to the wayside. I pray, Jesus, that only words anchored in heaven would take root in our hearts today. So, Father, I pray again for help in this. I pray for anointing and unction, and I pray for open hearts, God, to receive what you have for us. In the mighty strong name of Jesus, and we all said together, amen, amen. Okay. See, often as Christians, we will look at verses like these. Sometimes when we're going through a valley or a time of trouble or struggle, and we need to have anchor type of verses that help us through things like that. It's good to speak the words of God over your situation. When you begin to just change your language in the sense of it can change the atmosphere in your mind and your heart, you know, as you hear the Word of God. I encourage you sometimes just to read the Word of God out loud, even in your times of meditation and prayer when you get alone with God. The things that we see here is that there's renewal of our strength. We all want to soar like an eagle, right? We want to run with endurance, and we want to walk without fainting. This verse is really about enduring and overcoming. When you study out this scripture, you will see all kinds of things. And you can go to the Gospel of Google if you want, and you can type in this word, and you can get all kinds of stuff that come up. You know, you got to be careful sometimes what you're reading. But the truth is that there's an abundance of information that's available. And in studying the scripture, whether you're reading the commentaries or different ones, when you read articles and researching, there's some key truths about this portion of scripture that are apparent And they're anchored in this beautiful solution of waiting on the Lord. Because I think all of us grow weary at times in our walk with God. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. We can all grow weary. Amen? It just happens in the life that we live. But before we look at that aspect, I want us to look at the issue of weariness a little bit closer. To understand what really drives this and who is ultimately behind weariness. Now, weariness, again, we all understand that it's something that you and I all experience, okay? It doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old or a child, we can all experience weariness. Weariness is defined this way, as being exhausted in strength, exhausted in endurance, energy, or a freshness, okay? Physically and mentally, body, soul, spirit, you know, all of us can experience that. And when I say soul, I'm talking about your mind, your will, your emotions, that part of you that's just your very being, the core of who you are. You can get weary in your soul if you're not careful. In a battle, now you think about any type of a battle, there's many different forms, but there's two opposing forces, if you will. Weariness is always a desired outcome of one that one opponent has for the other, okay? Because when you're weary, when you're battle weary, you're weakened and you're vulnerable and you're open. You're not operating at full capacity. You're not operating at full strength. I know when the guys were back here working on the new sound booth, and many of you are looking at that going, what on earth is that? That's our new sound booth that's coming in. So praise God, and we're going to be making some improvements on that. And anyway, they were working on that, and they have batteries that go in, you know, their drills and whatnot. If you've got a cordless drill, you know what I'm talking about. But you've got to have juice in that battery. And when you drive screw after screw after screw after screw, that juice just starts depleting in that battery, and there's not much in reserve. You might be able to get one or two more, but at some point, you've got to get a fresh charge on that battery. And that's all this area of waiting on the Lord. Why? Because when you're not at full capacity, you're weakened and you can't be as effective as you normally can be at full capacity. So we have to understand this. And we have that we have an opponent as Christians. And the opponent that we have as Christians is the enemy of our soul, the devil himself. Even in the business arena, some of you are in business, some of you work for companies, and you know, most of us, my entire working career, you know, outside of church life up to just a few years ago, I was in the free enterprise system, the capitalism system, you know, and there's a driving force in there, and there's competition and all of these things that are, but when you're in competition with somebody else to gain the business of another, there is a wearing down of the competition that you want to see happen. How about in the athletic? Do we have anybody that's ever played athletics in here? Let me see. Show of hands. Anybody? Okay, a few of you are, okay. You ever play athletics? I think you did. All right. But the bottom line is when you're in athletics, you know, you have an opponent that you're going against. Now, many of you know that in my lifetime, I played football. I got to play in college. It was a great blessing, and I loved it, and I learned a lot of things from the game. And one of the things, I was an offensive lineman, okay? And I played left guard. I got to play there for 4 years, and it was just my spot, okay? And it was right next to the center, the guy who hikes the ball, and I played left guard. But one of the things that you had probably that entire game's 4 quarters that you played, sometimes you would be covered by a defensive lineman. Sometimes you might have one or two that will be interchanged in there. They might be in an A gap or a B gap, or you're also going to have a third person that would be like a linebacker that you're going to peel off and hit. Well, one of the things that you always wanted to do as an offensive lineman, you knew this, is sometimes those defensive guys were a little bit crazy and out of control. all right? So you kind of had to have this calm demeanor about you, okay? You never wanted to lose your cool, all right? And you would just wear them down and wear them down and wear them down, and you would let them just get irate. They would just get so close to sacking, you know, the quarterback or whatever it was. But by the fourth quarter, you wanted to be in the position where they were wore down, that they were battle-weary, so that when that last drive came, you had enough juice in the tank and you could just overpower them and take them on. I remember in one particular game, there was two or three of us. We were given some assignments, and they had this all-conference linebacker. He played for a neighboring college. And I remember the coach telling us, you need to wear him out. And we wore him out, and it was a close game, and it was fought. It was my sophomore year of college. And we wore this guy out, and it came to the fourth quarter, and he had nothing left. In fact, they ended up taking him out of the game because he was so exhausted. Because what we were doing is on every play, even if the play was away from him, even if the play was a pass play, if he was available to hit, we hit him, all right? And that's just like the enemy of your soul. Okay? The enemy of your soul is always, he's not going to take a break on any play. He's not going to just let you buy and let you sack the quarterback. He's going to do everything that he can to keep you from being successful in life. Now, I know that, that's just one example, but for Christians, you have to remember that our opponent is the enemy of our soul. It is the devil himself. And he has a strategy to influence you and to influence me into weariness. His desire is always to what? To rob, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and an abundant life. Amen? Isn't that good news? Amen. So here's a couple types of weariness quickly. One is weariness from activity. Okay? Now, we all are involved in activity every week, right? There's every day that we have, sometimes we try to even lay down and rest, and you can't rest because your mind is so active and it's just going and going and going. Your life commitments, my life commitments, they require energy. They require time. They require resources that I have available. And within those commitments, there's a priority that I am called to live. Now, I will tell you, in general, as a Christian, here are some good priorities. God first. Family is second. Then you got work, church, ministry, those types of things. Because Paul even said it himself. He said that a married man's first devotion is to his wife and family. Okay, that's why he said, I wish some of you could actually be single like me, because you know that a married person's first devotion is to their wife and family. And I will tell you this, husbands, I'm going to pick on you here, but your first commitment is to your wife. Your priority in life is to your wife. And I know that sometimes we don't always live that. But it's not the set of golf clubs in the garage. It's not the shooting gun that you have. It's not your fishing pole. It's not any of those things that you like to do. It's not your truck. It's not your hobbies that you have. Your first priority in life, second to Jesus, your relationship with Him, is your spouse, is your wife. Now, wives, you're not going to get off that easy either, because your first devotion, second only to Jesus, is your husband. Yes. Well, what about the kids? He comes before the kids, because who's going to be with you? Well, I know sometimes the kids come back for a period of time. You're all like, no, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. But the reality is that you have a lifetime commitment with that woman. And with that husband, you see, that's why you two need to prioritize each other above all things. Amen? Amen. Those are good things to understand. But getting involved, okay, in too many things, all it takes is this. Activity can weary you. Just getting a priority out of alignment, okay? Putting other things ahead of your God-given priorities in life. Putting church ahead of your wife. Putting all these things. I will tell you, I love you all. I do. I love you all, but I don't love you as much as I love that woman right there. Amen. See, my wife right here comes before all y'all. I'm just saying, okay? If I got a choice, I choose Kelly. All right? I mean, that's not because I have to. It's because that's what God has put in my heart. That's what God has put in my heart. We are in a covenant relationship that way. And we go through thick and thin, all right? We're coming up on, let me think here, 1993, so we're 27 years of marriage, all right? It's, the calculator just wasn't rolling there real good. By the way, happy birthday to Nikki this morning. I won't tell you how old she is, but she's really getting close to the big 5 year old, but she's not quite there yet. Praise the Lord. But getting your priorities out of alignment, when you do that, you create what's called an idol. And that idol will weary you, okay? Over-involvement, that will weary you. In the Christian journey, God has works. Now think about this. Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are His workmanship. What that word truly means is that we are His masterpiece. You are His masterpiece, and that He has actually created works for you in advance for you to step into. He's got specific things that He wants each and every one of you to do. Here's the problem. We often want to do the works that God has prepared for others instead of the very ones that He's prepared for us. Here's the thing. I understand there's seasons, and sometimes those things change within the seasons, okay? You might be doing this for a season, and then He might change a little direction, and you might be doing this for a season. But don't short-circuit the process. Let God use you wherever you are planted. You've heard that term, you know, bloom where you're planted. I'm just like a little flower, you know. I mean, I guess you just bloom where you're planted, you know. But the reality is there's so much truth in that. You know, where God has planted you, bloom and be a light for Him, for Jesus. See, when we want and covet all these other types of things, we'll get over-involved and we'll overcommit. And when you overcommit, you under-deliver. We've all been there at times. God began to speak to me. Here's the second thing. There's a cultural weariness, okay? And this is where the Holy Spirit just began to grip my heart this last week. He began to speak to me about this. People are culturally weary, okay? We have generations of individuals that are culturally weary. Now, I want you to let that sink in, okay? Let me explain. There is a message in the culture that has been pounded into the framework of the culture. We used to have what we called absolutes. Remember? Some of you in here actually remember when right was right and wrong was wrong. Okay? But culture has been on this never-ending attempt to accommodate every thought, tear down every moral boundary, and embrace all behavior, and we're supposed to call it tolerance. I'm going to tell you, when you make an attempt to embrace every single thing, every thought that's out there, every idea that's out there, you will become culturally weary. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should be anchored in Christ, okay? The culture is full of what is described as every wind of doctrine with no standard, okay? That's the culture. That's the world that... I have a string hanging off of here. Okay, thank you. Oh, it was... Some of you are just like, is he ever going to see that thing? I did see it finally. Okay, it's gone. But okay, there we go. All right. Thank you, Jesus. That's my OCD kicking in there. All right. God bless you. Okay. When I live this way, when I live just all over the board and try to embrace, well, you know, that's what you believe about God, and this is what I believe about God, and this is what they believe about God, and, well, they don't really believe in God. They believe in worshiping trees, and praise the Lord. Exactly. There is a standard. When I live this way, I'm tossed. Okay? I'm tossed to and fro, back and forth. That's the way Ephesians 4:14 describes it. I'm carried about and I'm influenced by every deceitful scheme that's out there. You got to understand the world system is controlled by another. The world system is influenced and controlled by the enemy, the prince of the air, the power and the prince of the air. You got to understand, he has boundaries within his scope of control. But he is the one this world system is anchored in. Don't think anything of it. We are living for a different kingdom as Christians. Isaiah 5:20 speaks of days when evil will be called good and good will be called evil. 2 Timothy 3 says that perilous times are going to come where people will be what? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Friends, if we're not living in those days, I don't know what days we're living in. Those things are happening right now. People are calling things that were evil good, and they're calling things that were good evil, you see? We need to see that tide turn, but it's only going to turn when we as the body of Christ rise up in the anointing of God and we start living for the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of this world. It goes on to say in verse 13 of 2 Timothy, it says that evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can you feel when you hear these things? These are just even the scriptures about the times. But when you start to talk about these different winds of doctrines and all the heresy and the deception, that can you feel that there's just an ugly spirit that is attached to that thing? Thank God Almighty, we can be in this world and have trouble in this world, but Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome this world. We are not hopeless, friends. We have hope in our Savior. We don't worship to get victory. We worship from a place of victory. Amen? If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ here today, you worship God from a place of victory. Victory. Can we say that together? Victory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me this week, and it was in one of those quiet times. He just said this, people are wearied. People are wearied by this cultural message of tolerance because they were never created to live without truth. He went on to tell me this, I never created them to live without a foundation or a standard. I created them for my pleasure and to give them an abundant life. See, the fruit of this, some call it a postmodern culture, humanistic culture, the fruit of that is hopelessness. The cultural message appears to bring unity. It appears to bring fulfillment. However, when you closely examine what is really happening in the lives of those who purvey this message, they are becoming more and more weary because they're becoming more and more hopeless. When you're without hope, suicide looks more tempting. When you're without hope, drugs look very tempting. When you're without hope, it's a lot easier to lower your standards and gravitate towards things that will medicate and take the place of the hurt. But the only thing it does is exacerbate the hurt and make it worse. Yes. See, you have to have a foundation. Now, the other day, there was a friend, took him to OSF. He had a long, I can't remember what day it was, like Thursday, but he had a long appointment at OSF. It was going to take most of the day. Dropped him off, and I had, actually, I got Bruce, I corralled him. I said, hey, come on, we're going into the, so he had a few stops he needed to make. I had a few places we needed to stop for the church and whatnot. But he drugged me into this rock place. Rocks, okay? And while we're in there, I met Rock Lady, all right? Now, I went in and I'm looking at, and it's pretty cool. I mean, they got some cool stuff there. If you know Bruce, you know he likes butterflies and rocks and gems and all that kind of stuff. And he doesn't worship them or anything like that. He just likes them, all right? But it's really cool. But all of a sudden, I was watching this gal. She was up there. She couldn't have weighed, 100 pounds wringing wet. And she's up there, and she's got dreadlocks down to the. And I was just like, you know, what's this all about? And I was just watching her, and she had this little pad of paper and this little Buddha thing, and she was just looking at all these little crystal rocks and stuff and picking them up and writing down, and I just couldn't resist. I was just like, what you doing, you know? And we just started talking, and then the lady who was one of the workers there came up, and she goes, well, these rocks have healing powers. I just listened. All right, I just wanted to hear what was going on here. I was just like, oh, they do. And she said, yeah, you know, this one does this and this one does that. And I was just like, man, Bruce, where did you bring me? You know, is there like a back room and they're going to pull out a hookah or something like that? I was just like, oh, this is not good. But the bottom line is I walked out. He ended up ministering a little bit, but it's kind of funny. But see, here's the thing. People put, when they don't have the message of the cross, when they have no foundation, when they have no standard, they'll even look to objects of creation for hope and for power. Friends, there's no power in those rocks. There's only power in the creator of those rocks, you see? And I wish, you know, I know we had some further discussion. We wish we would have said that in that moment. You know, you always walk away and you're just like, dang, why didn't I say that, you know? But maybe there'll be another opportunity if we ever go back to the rock store. But see, there's no foundation. And remember, friends, there's no power in the creation. There's only power in the Creator. But you have to understand that there is an attack on the message of the Creator. Yes. And they have done everything they can to pull it out of our schools and to teach our kids that there's no Creator. They want to teach our kids that we just come from some amoebic blob and it just kind of happened. And yeah, right. It takes more faith to believe that than what's right here. The answers are right here. It all happened, and the science confirms it. Yes. See, hopelessness is the fruit. But I will tell you, unfortunately, even in our church world at times, we've compromised the message, haven't we? We don't want to make any waves with anybody, right? Now, I'm not saying we got to go and protest and do all this and that. You know, what I am saying, though, is that we still need to stand up because there is a standard that we live by. There is truth that we live by. There are moral absolutes, and there is still right and wrong. Okay? We still need, as parents, to teach our kids that there is right and there is wrong. And I'm going to tell you, There is a weariness that comes to us, even as Christians, when we compromise that standard and we try to be accommodating to a world system that is not controlled by our Maker. It's controlled by another. You got to understand that. We live for a different kingdom. We live for the kingdom of God. See, the world system is not anchored in this world system, or excuse me, the kingdom of God is not anchored in this world system whatsoever. And the message of right and wrong and the standard of the cross and Jesus and all of the things that we stand for are Christians, they started in the heart of God. It's God's heart, you see. The enemy will always attempt to get you and influence you to compromise and to surrender. He wants to keep hitting you and keep hitting you and keep hitting you and keep hitting you until you lay down. He will always whisper lies in your ear, attempting to keep you from the very things that will bring you strength. He will try to steal your joy because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And now that we understand this dilemma of weariness, okay, we know that it can come from activity. We know that it comes from the culture. And I'm sure there's all kinds of other things that it can come from. But now we need to shift gears, don't we? Because if we just stay right here and I send you home, you're going to be just feeling like, oh man, what am I going to do? We have a solution, okay? And the solution is waiting on the Lord, okay? The solution to all of the weariness that exists is waiting on the Lord. The word is kava, okay? Q-A-W-V-A-H. And it's a word that has a definition that produces great strength in your life, all right? Can we say strength together? Strength. The context of this verse is strength, all right? They who wait will renew their what? Their strength, all right? Strength to soar as an eagle, strength to walk with endurance, strength to walk and not faint, okay? The word literally means bind together like a cord, all right? You know where I'm going with this. It means to twist and weave strands together to form a rope. Strength is not in the lone strand of string. The strength of a rope comes from all the strands working together. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Okay, I need some help. All right, I'll get a couple of you up here, all right? You want to help me, Ellie? Come on up. Come on, Bradley. All right, give it up for these two. All right, stand right up here. Okay, now you see this, right? Do you have any idea what this is? Okay, well, you're going to learn because you live out on the country, all right? And your daddy's going to make you learn this really good. No. Right, Randy? That's right. He's all right. This is called weed eater string, okay? Now, this here is a single strand, right? You see that? Do you see anything else with it? Here, take it. It's okay. You can touch it. Yeah. All right. There's no germs on it. Okay. Put it in your mouth. No, don't do that. Okay. It's all right. Now, look at this one, Ellie. What would you tell me about that one that's different? Go ahead and take it. What do you see? You see some different strands in there? Okay, so what you may not see here, there's three, right? There's an orange one, and what else? A black and a gray, right? Now, which of these two do you think is stronger? Why? Because it has more, right? Okay, all right, you hang on to those. Now, good job. That's a gift. All right, you can go sit down. Okay, Knox and Anaya, come on up. All right, come on up, sweetie. All right. So, now, what's this? String? Okay, all right, so hang on to that. That's a string, right? It's kind of, I know it has more than one strand in it, but even this string, okay, has strength because there's more than one with it, right? You see that? Okay, now, what's this? Okay, it's a little bigger rope, right? So you hang on to that, and I got one more here. And this... I mean, honestly, these two are pretty close, but pretend this is about 1 inch in diameter, okay? I couldn't find a real big one. Okay, so you see this one here, right? Now, of these three that are here, okay, which one do you think has the most strength? Okay, so if we go in next door and we get the ladder, all right, and we'll go up to the pole here and we tie it on and attach it, and I'm going to have you guys swing on it. How many of you want to swing on this? Why? It's really thin, and what will happen when there's a lot of weight put to it? It'll break. Amen. Okay? So you probably would pick one of these two. I would guess the two of you would probably be supported by these. You probably want this one, though, right? Why? Because it's stronger. All right? All right, give them a hand. All right? This is conceptually what is taking place when we are waiting on the Lord, okay? The single strand, all right, in and of itself, picture this as you and me, okay? Picture this as just us, as lone soldiers, okay? Now, there's ways to make this string stronger, and it's to weave it in with other strands of string. Some of you, were in the armed forces, maybe. Navy, you know, some of those ropes that they use in the Navy, I mean, those things are just ginormous. And when you see those things, I mean, they're huge. It takes a lot to break those, right? See, there are things that can happen in our lives that can either strengthen our rope, so to speak, or they can take away, okay? Because the truth of the matter is this. There's going to come a time when you need the strength of a thicker rope, but you're operating with one of these. And all of a sudden, you know where weariness comes from? It comes when you put too much weight on this. You get weary. And often what will happen, if you put enough weight on this thing, it will what? It'll break. Okay? Now, this will hold probably 100 times more weight, if not more, than this right here. And the more strands that you would put this in, if you wove this together with 3 more, that thing would even get more strong and stronger and stronger and stronger until whatever load comes at it, it's going to support it. You see, it's going to take a lot more to break this thing. Okay? And that's the same way it is with our lives. Now, granted, I know if Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about us as the body of Christ. We need each other. But I'm also looking at this, when we wait on the Lord, here are some things that you need to understand. This is how you can add some strands to your rope. You can worship God passionately. You can worship God as if He really is the creator of the world. You know what happens when we worship like we did this morning? The presence of God comes and it fills our hearts and it lifts us up and it strengthens us on the inside. Maybe not so much just on the physical part, but I will tell you, much of the problem sometimes in our physical body is a direct result of what's going on the inside spiritually. And I will tell you, there are times that I have literally just got alone with God and began to pray and began to seek His face, and I just began to get stronger and stronger, even physically. And it's remarkable how quickly you can recover from some things when you actually will spend time with God, worshiping God passionately. When you have the opportunity to come to the house of God, come and worship and be a part of the family of God. Bring a gift from your heart to Jesus to worship. Don't just come to get, come to give back to others and to God Himself. Because friends, we are worshiping the Creator of all things. We are worshiping the one who took the wrath of God, who took the penalty of sin for you and for me, and we have an opportunity and a privilege to lift Him up and give Him praise and honor and adoration for all He has done. That is a tremendous responsibility and privilege that we have as believers. Why would anybody ever want to come into something that's dead? Oh, man, that's when church becomes drudgery, friends. And it just amazes me sometimes. You can have a spiritually charged atmosphere, and I've told you this many times, you can get as much from God as you want. You can come here and we cannot have all the sound things right, or we can do this or we can do that, but if you have a heart to worship Jesus, you can get everything that you want from Him and need from Him that day. It's not about where you sit in the sanctuary. It's not about how loud the music is. It's not about any of that stuff. Friends, it's about worshiping Jesus and the attitude of our heart that we bring into the house of God. Amen. Amen. We yield to the Lord. That puts another strand on your rope. You respond to altars when the opportunity comes, okay? These are putting strands on your rope. It's making you stronger. You read the Word of God. Remember the series that we just did, Keep It Hot, okay? Look at those things again. Take a look at them. The Word of God, fellowship, prayer. Pray without ceasing. Consistently gather with fellow believers. Share your faith. Learn from Christian friends. You friends, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, do not just shove that to the side. You need it, man. I'm telling you what Jesus says. Go and wait in Jerusalem. Be endued with power from on high. The gift is for you. It's for me. It's for your children and your children's children and the generations afar off. That is who we are. We are a Pentecostal people. Hallelujah. Thank God Almighty for the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank God. If you have not received that, don't just throw it to the side. God wants you to have that. He wants you to have that. He doesn't go around and say, oh, I'm going to give it to Nikki and I'm going to give it to Anaya Knox, but I'm not going to give it to Rodney.
Oh, no.
That's not God.
No,
He said, I want to give you everything you need for your journey. Friends, we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You need a prayer language. You need that. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from Holy Spirit. It's a way that we keep that Holy Spirit fire burning. Hallelujah. It doesn't make you any more of a Christian. It just makes your witness effective, friend. It gives you the juice that you need in there. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's time to bring it in. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this today? Man, I feel the Lord in this, friends. I really feel like some people have given up on the Holy Spirit. This is on my heart right now. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's one of the most beautiful things. It's the gift of the Father. He wants everyone to have it. This isn't talking about the gifts of the Spirit in the church when it's all this. He wants you to have it. It's a personal gift that He has for you. And I know there's preachers out there everywhere, even in our Assemblies of God churches, that have downplayed it. And they've downplayed it because there's been immature people that misrepresented it. There's been people who made others feel like they were something less of a Christian because they didn't have it. I'm going to tell you that's wrong. We show no partiality in the household of God. The playing field is level here. I had a good friend. He hasn't received it for years. And he has contended and contended and contended. And he had good, well-intended people come up to him and say, well, maybe God just doesn't want you to have that. He said, don't say that to me. He says, I know I've got my own issues and I'm going to contend for it because the Bible says that I can have it and I'm going to contend for it. So I want to encourage you. It's just like any of our men that are and women that are serving in leadership and on staff in this church. They are full of the Holy Spirit. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need it, friends. I'm going to tell you, when you're in leadership, when you're in ministry, and you're doing these types of things, the target on you goes from this to this to this. You need everything that God has available to you. And that is one of the things that will make that rope in your life stronger. Those of you who have experienced this beautiful baptism, you understand what I'm talking about. And I don't lord that over anybody. I just want to encourage you in your personal time to seek it out, to seek God, and don't quit. Don't quit. I'm going to tell you what, my wife got it before me and I was mad. I'm the one that's... See, I had the wrong attitude. I tried to tell her she didn't really receive it. Oh, those weren't good days. But then it happened for me. In a little red Ford Escort driving home from Sterling Rock Falls, I was selling insurance. It was a long day and I was just listening to the radio. And I was even listening to a Baptist radio station. And I was just worshiping and praising God. And this song came on and I just began to break. And I remember I went to worship and the next thing that came out of my mouth was a beautiful heavenly tongue. And you know, the enemy came and whispered in my ear, that's just you. Yeah, I was speaking, but the Holy Spirit was speaking through me and giving me the utterance. It's a beautiful thing. I've heard those things. I don't know why I'm on this. I guess I just feel like we're supposed to camp here for a minute. So I want to encourage you in that. And I want to encourage you if you're weary. Like the song we sang at the very beginning. There's a solution for our weariness. Wait upon the Lord. bind yourself together. Put more strands on your rope so that your rope can grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Because I will tell you, as your rope grows, the Lord will let more weight come to your life because you can bear more weight, you see. You might be in here and you're a revivalist. You may not even know what God can do through you. And you little ones, you may never know what God can do if you would just yield your heart to Him completely. And for those of us who are older in here, don't ever count yourself out of the battle. It's not time to come off the playing field. It's time to step in. Oh, maybe you're like Bill and you can't do a dance a jig because he's got a new knee. But I'm going to tell you what, he can dance a jig in here. And I know this, he can pray. I know that he does pray. And I know that he couldn't wait to get back in the house of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So whatever you're doing for God, just give him everything that you got. I want to encourage you today. Let's stand together. We are the family of God. We need each other. Just begin to pray to the Lord. Just begin to lift your hands and just pray to God. Thank you, Jesus.